Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
That meeting between Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, that one-on-one was so important because they had to come out feeling good about each other, and giving them that forum to do it under NFL rules where you can only do it virtually was absolutely fantastic. And it's the only team that does something like that.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Herron, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, Sirius XM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
Tri-City. For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Guess who joined us? We'll join us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Here with you till 9 p.m. tonight. My guy AK, Alex Kuhn, on the ones and twos for me throughout the evening, this evening. Some great guests that we have prepared for you on the show. Just a few short minutes. Trevor Sikkema of PFF, NFL draft analyst. He'll be joining me a little bit later this hour. Patrick Finley, Bears beat reporter. You read his work. You hear him all the time interviewing Bears brass, Bears players, repping the Chicago Sun-Times. He'll be with us a little later in the show. We'll talk some Bulls as well with Cody Westerlin as the trade deadline approaches here in the coming days. See what the latest and greatest is from over at the UC. So a lot we'll get into throughout the show tonight. I do have a personal question. We'll get the meatball machine started up with some actual sports queries. A Bears question I'll pose to you in just a little bit here. But if you want to hit me up, I'm on social at Big Ant Herron. I haven't taken my Christmas decorations down yet. And I don't know what the – because we just moved. So we just spent our first holiday season here in the suburban house. And I did get rid of the real tree. So I got that going for me. I just did that over the weekend. Like our trash day was what? Last Friday, I guess it was. So I did get rid of it. We got our first real tree, live tree. We got rid of that. So I was able to, you know, overcome the strength of will for my wife, who really desires us to hang on to the holiday season for as long as possible. And frankly, I get it. But, you know, I don't want to circumvent social norms too far, too deep into the year. And it was one thing doing it in a high-rise condo in the city, where the city is just kind of well-lit in general. So it doesn't feel like we stand out that much. But, you know, Burbs a little different. Burbs got, you know, a different degree of light interference, light pollution, as they call it. So when we're still lighting things up when nobody else on the block is, that does stand out a little bit more. But the tree itself took the decorations down, took the tree out to the curb. So that part is done. We just did that a few days ago. Decorations inside the house, decorations outside the house. Those are still going strong. I think at some point we should probably adjust that. But I am curious, if I'm alone here, am I the only one who's still got the decorations rocking? Or is anybody else out there still? And we do make a habit of this because we tend to put our holiday decorations up a little bit late anyway. So we kind of feel like that excuses us to keep them up a little deeper into the new year. And y'all know how it is. It gets real dark this part of the year anyway. So, all right, you know, things are going to be dark and dim and drab at 3:30 or whatever this part of the year. Then, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and have some cheerful lighting going on. So that's how we usually handle things. I don't know if any of you out there handle it in a similar fashion. You can hit me up at Big Ant Hair. And I am curious if I'm alone in that regard, what the threshold is that most of you tend to use. Because I do feel like maybe by the end of this week, maybe sometime this weekend, something like that, maybe go ahead and get the rest of the decorations down. I don't know if the missus is going to go for it, actually, but I was able to get the tree down and out. We'll see when the rest of the decorations are going to come down, too. Hope you've had a fabulous day and a fabulous start to your week. I certainly have. And yeah, I was asking Alex about that before we came on the air here, how his day was.
Sure?
Well, I was asking someone, and Alex overheard me.
Yeah, I was talking to my son about me. And you're doing it in such like a calm voice as if you were talking to a 7-year-old. I'm like, wow, Ant has never talked to me this way before. And then it turns out you were actually talking to a 7-year-old, your son.
Yeah, saw my son. He came in the door a little while ago, shortly before we came on the air here. And, you know, I hadn't seen him since he was leaving for school this morning. So I was just asking him how his day was. And I did it in my dad-like fatherly voice and in my cheerful manner when I'm talking to him. And on the mic with Alex here, and he hears that going on. I was like, oh, you know what? I had a lovely day. And he starts telling me about his day. I'm like, well, okay, I don't want to break the flow here, but I actually wasn't talking to you. I was talking to my 7-year-old. But Alex, how was your day?
It's much better now that I'm here with you. Very uneventful until right now.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad you had a fantastic day. Hope all of you did out there as well. We are at the point in the calendar here where we know who the head coach is. We know who many of the assistants are. The Bears have made it official with the assistants who have now joined the coaching staff with head coach Ben Johnson. So he's running things, and the Bears are now starting to fill out the coaching staff. And been talking about it a little bit on the station here in recent days, just some of the additions that Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, you know, Kevin Warren, they're all involved in this process to a certain extent. Some of these names had been rumored for a little while here, but now we're getting a sense, especially now that, you know, the Bears have been willing to put the word out publicly. They did officially announce it just before the close of business today with the coordinators that they announced. And so we've known for a while now that Ben Johnson had the press conference last week. Ben Johnson officially the head coach of the Chicago Bears, but they put out the official word on the coordinators really just a little over an hour ago. Dennis Allen, as was immediately reported, that news was circulating out there that he was one of the leading candidates being considered by Ben Johnson. That news was reported as official. That broke a few days ago. But now the Bears have put the word out that Dennis Allen is their defensive coordinator. Offensive coordinator is Declan Doyle. Apparently the youngest offensive coordinator in the National Football League. And I know there's been some digging going on just to try to confirm or clarify, is he the youngest coordinator in NFL history at just 28 years old? Richard Hightower stays on as the Bears special teams coordinator. So the announcement of the three coordinators did come out officially from the Bears today. So the official portion of the coaching staff does, in my opinion, seem like a pretty strong staff. I was being asked about it a bit on the midday show yesterday, just essentially how strong it is. And, you know, I wouldn't go as far as to, you know, kind of consider them being the, you know, the Transformers or the Avengers or something like that. I mean, I think it's a, it seems to be a strong staff. You know, I don't know that it's certainly not the most decorated staff in football, but Richard Hightower has been a quality special teams coordinator for quite some time in the NFL. Dennis Allen has been a quality defensive coordinator and defensive mind in the NFL for quite some time here. Declan Doyle, an extremely young and, frankly, inexperienced coach and personality to ascend to the offensive coordinator role, but he has been really well regarded at every stop he's been at so far. So youth and inexperience is not necessarily a negative, but it does indicate that he's, you know, fairly unproven in this role, in this capacity, more specifically in this job title. Now, what's interesting about Declan Doyle is just how exactly Ben Johnson will plan to utilize him. And that's where, you know, the role, the title of offensive coordinator is one thing, but we've obviously known that the plan for Ben Johnson will be to call the plays. And so if you're going to call plays in the National Football League, you don't just have your playbook and then you show up blind on game day. There's so much planning, preparation, organizing that goes into that leading into game day. And as the head coach, you know, like you think back to when Matt Eberflus first took the job as head coach of the Bears, and I was fairly encouraged by the idea that Matt Eberflus didn't initially plan, even though he had been a successful defensive coordinator in the NFL and at the major college level for years. But getting his first head coaching opportunity when he showed up here in Chicago, Matt Eberflus didn't plan to call the Bears defenses. Now, that, of course, ended up materializing because things went sideways with Alan Williams and, frankly, other assistant coaches over the few years that Eberflus was here as the Bears head coach. But he didn't plan to call the defenses. Now, he was thrust back into that capacity once the Bears moved on from Alan Williams. And Matt Eberflus actually saved his job in doing that. But there's not necessarily a lot of head coaches who are really successful in doing both, but they do exist. And perhaps Ben Johnson, in a similar fashion to multiple other coaches in this division that he's now going to be matching wits with, like Matt LaFleur, who, hey, Shane Waldron was Matt LaFleur's offensive coordinator. Now here he is. Well, all right, well, Luke Getsy, he's been around Matt LaFleur, not Waldron. LaFleur is really the name I was looking for there. But, you know, Luke Getsy shows up, and he hadn't really called plays in the NFL before. That's because Matt LaFleur was running the Packers offense while being the head coach. Kevin O'Connell runs the Vikings offense while being the head coach. Both those guys pulling it off successfully, as do a number of other guys like Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid and others. It's not like it's unheard of, but this will be a first-time head coach, first time with the big whistle, who will also be running that side of the football. So the role for Declan Doyle, it really intrigues me how exactly he'll be utilized. Of course, he also was a, you know, Iowa Hawkeye. He was not a, you know, prominent football player on the Iowa team, but his father, Chris Doyle, was my strength coach, strength and conditioning coach when he took over as Kirk Ferentz came into the University of Iowa. So I was around his dad a lot over the years. You know, like I referenced yesterday, I'm sure most folks remember his dad was famously fired by the University of Iowa a few years ago in controversial fashion. It was around Declan when he was still essentially a kid. So I don't know Declan Doyle, certainly know folks who know him. Honestly, more of my, at least, you know, kind of digging about Declan Doyle has come more so in his time in the NFL. And everything that's been communicated to me about Declan Doyle is about, and unsurprisingly, he is known as an extremely hard worker and a very detailed guy. And again, I haven't really been around him as an adult, just was around him a bit as a kid, as kind of a tween, essentially, in times I would go back to the campus years ago. But I'm not surprised by knowing his family and sort of being around his parents and everything, that him being a hard worker, him being very detail-oriented, that doesn't surprise me one bit. That's what everyone who I've communicated with about Declan Doyle has communicated to me. And when you think back to Ben Johnson's press conference from last week, before he had announced his offensive coordinator, as he was asked about what type of coach he would be looking for in that capacity, his answer essentially came down to, I'm going to be looking for an OC that doesn't mind sleepless nights. And that's frankly one of the things that's been communicated to me about Ben Johnson himself, a guy at 38 years old who's taken over as a head coach for the first time in his coaching career. And with that in mind, Ben Johnson is a guy who has also been known as someone who doesn't mind sleepless nights, doesn't mind late nights, what will grind away, burn that midnight oil. Now, at a certain point, you do wonder if a guy ends up finding that work-life balance and how much, you know, as you grind away, how much do you, you know, perhaps wear down those around you? How much do you, you know, perhaps expect so much out of the folks who you are leading that maybe it ends up deteriorating the camaraderie of things and folks get worn down and tired or whatever else? Those are concerns that can come up later on down the road. But that's one thing that's a balance for assembling a coaching staff. Because even Dennis Allen, who I love the fact that there's experience as the defensive coordinator and there's experience with the special teams coordinator. Richard Hightower, Dennis Allen are guys who've been coordinators for longer than Ben Johnson was a coordinator just the last few years in Detroit, who have run their full scope of the game, DA running his full side of the ball, and he's done that at multiple stops and been the head coach. So that degree of experience, that does matter because it can take more of the onus off of Ben Johnson in preparing the entire team and in decision-making in-game. So between your other coordinators and the analytics and in-game sort of the in-game mechanism that's there to help deciding about going for fourth downs and clock management, timeout usage, there's analytics staffs who are devoted to helping Ben Johnson make some of these decisions in-game, when to challenge, when not to challenge. And in the end, the final decision is his. But the more trust that he can have, the experienced personnel are in those roles, then my experience in observing these things has been that aids a young head coach. But even in the months leading up to game action, this very first time that Ben Johnson is going to be leading team onto the field with the big whistle, there's going to be things that just come up in day-to-day operations of the Bears that just having guys who've been around the block will matter. And it'll matter greatly. That's not necessarily Declan Doyle, but it is Dennis Allen. It is Richard Hightower. And I do hope, like, you know, Antoine Randall will apparently be wide receiver coach and assistant head coach. Randall's been around the block quite a bit. He hadn't been a head coach, though. I do wonder, as the totality of the coaching staff and analysts who are going to be in the building, as that gets filled out, how many sounding boards will there be for Ben Johnson just to communicate with about some of these things that will come up on the plate of a head coach that he's never had to handle before? I do find myself curious about that. So we'll continue to, of course, follow that and track that as the coaching staff ends up getting filled out. But the most important aspect of Ben Johnson's job right now, in addition to completing the coaching staff, will be filling out the roster, evaluating the roster in place, and then determining how to enhance the roster. What does he love about the guys who are here in place? How will he continue to tweak and evolve and nurture their talents to suit what his image is of this version of the Bears? But then also the college version of what gets added to and enhanced, now that's playing out around the National Football League. That's where this offseason timeline ends up mattering. We're in the pre-draft phase right now. College football season has come to a close. The NFL season just has one game remaining. And so now there are two of the main All-Star games coming up this week. You got the East-West Shrine Bowl that's coming up this Thursday night. You got the Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl, that's going to come up on Saturday. And then the HBCU Legacy Bowl that'll come up later on in the month of February. All those games on television will be on the NFL Network. They'll be available on the radio as well. I'll be calling the HBCU Legacy Bowl again this season. That'll be on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I always love going down to New Orleans and calling that broadcast. But this whole process with the All-Star games that are taking place throughout this week into the weekend and then into the month of February, that's the initial on-field phase of the players showing their wares, trying to prove what they can do. And so as Ben Johnson right now, he, his personnel department, anyone from a scouting perspective that he may be looking to bring with him from Detroit or perhaps, you know, just other iterations of relationships that he's developed over the years, then Ryan Poles' scouting department may look and function a bit differently with the idea that Ben Johnson has a bit more say or sway in how personnel will be brought in to suit his image of the Bears and what kind of works best for how he wants to run the team. So then we get through the All-Star games in the days and weeks to come here. NFL Scouting Combine will be coming up at the end of February. All that last weekend of February in Indianapolis from February 27th on Thursday through Sunday, March 2nd. That's where players are going to be wearing underpants and running up and down the turf there at Lucas Oil Stadium. And that's where now the Bears will have an opportunity to continue evaluating on the hoof the level of athleticism and get more in-person interviews with these players, just like they'll have the opportunity to do throughout the All-Star circuit I'm talking about there. But then the majority of the players, even the ones that don't work out, will still descend upon Indianapolis for that opportunity to meet with Ben Johnson, his Bears staff in person in Indy as well, to continue making evaluations and look for how they want to continue filling out the roster from there. Once you get through Indy, next phase essentially is your private in-person workouts. Perhaps you fly out with individual teams or teams come out and fly to you for some time on the field, put you on the turf, put you on the board, and try to evaluate whether or not they're going to use some of their draft capital on you. Good position the Bears are in. They not only have a, you know, pretty still immense cap space, but then also have a lot of draft capital as well. So those evaluations that they're pairing, how they evaluate the college talent with, how they evaluate the players that would be available at the NFL level also. That'll lead them in draft weekend, that final full weekend in April, April 24th through the 26th. It's going to be in Green Bay this year, the NFL draft. And so that's where the Bears and Ben Johnson will have their first real opportunity to acquire college talent to enhance this current roster. That brings me to a question I'm going to want to pose to you guys as we get to the meatball machine later in the show. And we'll open up the phone lines as well at 312-644-6767. Ben Johnson is really just going to get to know this Bears roster in some more depth in the days and weeks to come here. You've been watching it. You've been living and dying with it. You've been eating and praying with it. You've been seeing these guys in victories and defeats, wins and losses, thick and thin, and a whole lot of thin. It's been there the last few years here. But you know the talent of some of the individuals that's been there. There may be some guys you think are overrated, some guys you think are underrated. But position groups. What position group in particular with the Bears' early draft picks, the first round pick, let's even say the first couple of rounds here, because the first 2 days of the draft, the first round and then the second, third round, you're hoping to hit on at least starters, if not really high level, like Pro Bowl caliber players, especially, of course, in the first round. Where do you want to see Ben Johnson go early? Like, if you told Ben Johnson, here's the gift you should ask for, because this is going to be the best opportunity Ben Johnson has to ask for everything. He will be able to ask Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, Bears Brass for absolutely everything to get this thing right. And year by year, if it's not right, he's going to have less and less leverage to ask for it. So if you were advising Ben Johnson, where would you tell him he needs to no doubt target right off the bat? Want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. We'll open up the phone lines later on this hour.
And also, can I throw out there that people can voice text us to answer question as well on the Odyssey app next to, if you're listening, you will see the microphone emoji. Just click on it, hold it down, record your message, and we will play some of these back later in the show.
I love it. That's exactly what I was about to explain to folks, Alex. You did a bang-up job. I can tell you had a fantastic day. No, I can tell you had an absolutely epic day preparing to describe the meatball machine, as it is lovingly being referred to on the station here. That is also, as my guy AK described, where you can go and leave that voicemail. You get up to 60 seconds. Just hold that button down, and you can describe what the Bears should be targeting, what Ben Johnson specifically should be targeting to enhance and prepare his football team for this coming season. So we'd love to hear from you. We'll open up the phone lines later on. We will have your voicemail messages prepared as well. But for now, I'm going to take a time out and prepare to come back and get a sense for what some of these top players going through the East-West Shrine Bowl, and then later on this weekend, the Senior Bowl will be happening. So some of the top college talent is on the field right now, in the meeting rooms right now, meeting with teams and showing their wares because they want to get drafted. And who are some of these best options the Bears will be in the process of evaluating over the next few days? Trevor Sikkema will join me next on The Score.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think that Caleb is sort of, I'm going to be honest with you, right on track. Like, I knew that it would be an issue for Caleb Williams coming in to really acclimate from a Lincoln Riley system going to the NFL level. I mean, he was going to have to really take down his time to throw. He was really going to have to adjust how he looked at defenses, how long he held onto the ball, being able to process and go through things.
The voice of our guest, Trevor Sikkema. He was on with Trista Crick right here on these airwaves describing Caleb Williams and where he would be at throughout his rookie season with the Chicago Bears. You all watched it extremely closely. We saw that play out. And so now the question for new Bears head coach Ben Johnson is, how does he accentuate those skills of Caleb Williams and develop him into one of the top young quarterbacks in football? So let's go out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. And you can go to CircaLasVegas.com. And we're joined now by Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus, co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange. And he is with us on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Trevor, what's happening? How are you doing this evening?
I am doing fantastic. I appreciate you guys having me on again.
I appreciate you taking the time to join. And so let's start there, specifically with Caleb, because one of the things I've tried to remind folks of here in, you know, I suppose recent months, even going back to prior to the previous draft, in that pre-draft phase when the Bears had the number one overall pick, comparing Caleb with some of the other contemporaries in that draft cycle, chief amongst those, Jaden Daniels, the offensive system that we just heard you referencing there, certainly a part of that transition where, you know, between verbiage and mechanics, it's just it's a sizable leap, let's call it, from what he had to do in college to the National Football League. But then also the time on task. He just hasn't played as much football as Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and some of the others. So how would you evaluate what you saw from Caleb Williams as a rookie?
No, I still agree with me. The clip that we heard at the beginning of the show, you know, that guy's pretty smart. No, but I do. I think that Caleb, again, he's kind of right where we would want him to be. There were certainly things that he needs to improve going into next year, and I still think that there are plenty of great things that he did well that give you a lot of faith for the future. Now, obviously, it's not really beneficial to Bears fans to compare what Jaden Daniels has been as a rookie versus Caleb Williams. I mean, I know that we've done those exercises before, even on my own show, you know, talking about some redrafts and giving Jaden Daniels kudos more than necessarily criticizing Caleb Williams just because of how great he has been right out of the gate. But that's not to say that Caleb won't get there. And I think some of Caleb's struggles, sort of like you introed there, it has to do with the offensive terminology, sort of what he's used to, how the NFL game is very different than the system that Lincoln Riley gave him when he was at USC and when he was at Oklahoma. Those things are just naturally different. But also, as we know now, it wasn't the best situation for Caleb Williams. It felt like it was pretty unstable. It felt like certainly at the beginning of the season, Shane Waldron didn't have a good feel and a lot of confidence for calling those plays and being the offensive coordinator of that offense with him getting relieved of his duties. And then it was, you know, the rest of the season, it was just turmoil, different voices in your head, different, you know, voices in your headset, literally. And so it's just a lot to handle as a rookie. So I think that it's hard to look at Caleb Williams' rookie year and take any sort of sweeping, definitive takeaways from it at all whatsoever. Instead, I'm just really excited for the stability of Ben Johnson being there. And you talk about how this guy was able to streamline so many things for so many different players that the Detroit Lions have had over the last couple of years and get the most out of Amon-Ra St. Brown and the run game and Sam LaPorta and Jared Goff and Tim Patrick and, you know, Jameson Williams and all these players. He put them in great position to succeed. I think that that's going to be the case with Caleb Williams as well.
And we've seen now play caller after play caller through multiple regimes in Chicago that hadn't actually had NFL offensive play calling experience before they got here to Chicago, like Matt Nagy, very minimal experience in Kansas City calling plays before here. Same with Luke Getsy, hadn't really called plays in the NFL. And then Shane Waldron had called them, but not with a rookie. So now we've seen where Ben Johnson has been the play caller on offense for the Lions in recent seasons. What have been your observations of Ben Johnson within that Detroit Lions offense, how he ran that, and how it might be able to perhaps get the best out of Caleb?
I'll tell you, the longevity of success is the most impressive thing to me. It really is, because in this league, defensive coordinators, they get paid a lot of money too, and those guys are some of the smartest in the sport. And normally when you have an offense that performs very well one year, it's extremely difficult to repeat that. You have to evolve, right? Okay, just because we had a great year one year does not mean that that's a guarantee that we can run the same thing the next year and it have success. So Ben Johnson, what he has been able to do is he's been able to stay dynamic in how he has approached being a play caller and a play designer. And he said, okay, yeah, these are things that worked this year. And yeah, sure, we'll maybe run still some of them because we don't want to totally change what we do because it was so good the previous season. But you got to be able to throw in a lot of curveballs. And for the last 3 years, he has been able to keep defensive coordinators guessing with the different pitches that he is throwing and different ways that he's been able to get better as a play caller and an offensive play designer every single year. So to me, that is that if you're a Chicago Bears fan, that is the part, in my opinion, that should give you the most excitement and faith moving forward. Is this guy is not a one-year wonder. He didn't just have 1 year of being a good play caller. It was 3 years. And, yeah, okay, obviously he had great players around him. You know, the offensive line in Detroit's better than it has been in Chicago, so those things have to get better. But he has allowed those playmakers to shine in different seasons and in different ways. So that really is my assessment of Ben Johnson, is just he is more than just the next play caller who happens to get his shot as a head coach. He really does seem like one of the best offensive minds in the game.
Well, certainly exciting news to hear that assessment. It's been a pretty resounding and consistent assessment of Ben Johnson, and so it's almost getting to the point now where Bears fans are getting a little worried at what's going to go wrong. They definitely got to enhance the roster. That's a part of the reason we want to chat with you this evening, because now we're into the pre-draft phase with the All-Star Circuit happening here between the East-West Shrine Game, the Senior Bowl that's happening here, and that sort of division of assets, the compilation of talent with both those games, how has that aspect of things evolved over the years? If I'm not mistaken, you're down in Mobile at the site of the Senior Bowl right now, but
yes,
you got two games that are coming up in the days to come here. So how will the Bears best divide up their personnel evaluation between those two games?
Yeah, it makes it interesting because, you know, anytime you're hiring a head coach, it's like, all right, that guy gets in the building, you know, you're sort of feeling out the staff. And, I know that Ryan Pohl's side of things has stayed the same. And so you've still got the scouts, you've still got that familiarity. Those are the guys who are going to those events, but you got to get the new coaching staff kind of caught up to speed. And hey, this is what we look for in players. This is some guys that we've really had our eyes on over the last year with scouting, and you want to try to get on the same page. So, I mean, when it comes to this event, yeah, it's a very jam-packed 10 days going from one event to the other. And I was at the Shrine Bowl before I came over to the Senior Bowl, and it's a long travel week, and there's a lot of things to be able to take in. You know, these guys and these teams meet with basically every single player. They get at least a primer on them, get to say hello, get to meet them, see how they are for a couple of minutes. Sometimes they get some extended time getting to know them a little bit better. But, yeah, I mean, it's just part of draft season that is a lot of fun. And honestly, if you're on a scouting staff and Chicago, even though, like I said, they've got to change it coach, they've got the same front office that's there with Ryan Poles at the top. And so you figure it's just another year sort of what they have been able to do, and they're just trying to do it a little bit better this year, and it makes for a fun 10 days of these events.
Trevor Sikkema, the lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And I put out the call for folks to leave us, you know, some voicemails on what we call the meatball machine. We're going to get to those a little bit later in the show. But from your assessment, I'm guessing a lot of folks are going to talk about the line of scrimmage, probably specifically the offensive line, for their hopes for where the Bears go early in this coming draft. How is this crop of offensive line and talent for this draft cycle?
Man, it's a very interesting class because I think it's light on true interior offensive line players. And when I say that, I mean like guys who over the last two or three years have like played guard the whole time or played center the whole time. Just, you know, these lifers along the interior offensive line. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be good interior offensive linemen in this draft class. They just maybe are coming from the offensive tackle position. And so instead now you get some guys who there's versatility there. You know, there is the option to be able to play them as swing offensive linemen. And so we see that even at the very top of the draft class. You know, people talk about Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU. Now, he's somebody who I think approaches the game so well from the offensive line spot, from the tackle spot specifically. I'd give him a chance at tackle before I moved him inside. But I think he's one heck of a guard, and honestly, if he can prove that he's got the flexibility to get down in his stance and get his butt down before the snap, I'd even try him at center. I mean, this dude's so smart. He's making protection calls even as the left tackle, so he's great there. But specifically for guys at the Senior Bowl, I got to be honest with you. I'm watching Gray Zabel, who is the offensive lineman for the North Dakota State Bison. He played offensive tackle over the last 2 years. He played right tackle, and then he played left tackle. He's been playing center and interior offensive line here in Mobile at the Shrine Bowl. And I know we're only one day in, but this is somebody who I already really liked his tape. And he looks rock solid at center and guard. I mean, this looks like a future, not just starter, but potentially even all-pro interior offensive lineman. I can't help but watch him and think, man, if the Chicago Bears can get him, that would be a dream come true for the team. And I promise you, I'm not just saying that here because I'm on your program. I thought of that earlier this afternoon because I think about them prioritizing the offensive line and getting better at the offensive line. If this dude's able to come in and be the centerpiece of that O-line at the center position, you are getting a tone setter. You are getting somebody who plays the interior offensive line spots the right way, toughness, strength, agile footwork, and a ton of experience coming from a school and a program that has been competing for national championships for over the past half decade. So Greg Zabel is honestly somebody that I don't know if he's going to be a first round pick or not, but man, if the Bears have a chance to get him, they really got to keep their eyes on him.
I like the sounds of that quite a bit. And as we kind of look at positions where maybe there won't be as big of a priority, but the Bears could use some added depth or an enhancement, I'd say running back depth would be one that really matters to the Ben Johnson offense through my evaluation. And from what I understand, it's a pretty deep crop of running backs in this draft cycle. What are your evaluations of that position?
Yeah, it is. They'll have a chance to get a really good running back at any point in time, it feels like, you know. From Ashton Jeanthi at the very top all the way to guys that we're going to pick on day three, you're really going to be able to get some impact backs. I mean, there's somebody who's very versatile here at the Senior Bowl who had a really good day once, Breshard Smith from SMU. This guy who was a former wide receiver, you know, played at Miami before he came over to SMU. Really good PFF grades this past year. 90.6 receiving grade out of the backfield. Really great receiving production from that wide receiver background. But also, he's getting the hang of things, running between the tackles and being able to see the field very well and proving that vision. So, him from SMU, but man, it just feels like there's so many backs. You know, Amarian Hampton from North Carolina, Dylan Sampson from Tennessee, Cam Scadaboo from Arizona State, the two Ohio State guys, Trayvon Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. I mean, guys who are here at this event, Ollie Gordon, RJ Harvey, Devin Neal. The list goes on and on. There's so many great running backs that NFL teams, specifically Chicago, is going to be able to pick rounds 1 through 6 and maybe even get a big-time contributing player.
It's good to have options, and it does sound like the Bears will have some of those. Then once they get them in, got to develop that talent, as you know. Trevor, as always, man, spectacular stuff. Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Anytime.
That is Trevor Sikkema of PFF. You can find him on social at Tampa Bay Trey. Well, I did make the call for some voicemails on the Meat Machine a little bit earlier this hour. You go out and download the Odyssey app. Hit the 670 The Score page, and then there's going to be a button there. On the left is the Listen Live tab. On the right is the Send a Voice Message tab. You hold that down 60 seconds, and that would allow you to leave a voicemail message. My question to you tonight is, where do you want, especially now that we are into the All-Star phase, East-West Shrine Game on Thursday, Senior Bowl on Saturday, HBCU Legacy Bowl later on in February. So a lot of these All-Star games that are happening, players having the opportunity to show their wares, auditioning for these teams, and the Bears certainly need to enhance the roster for Ben Johnson. Where do you want them to target? What position do you want the Bears to go after early in this draft? Well, open up the phone lines as well at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Told you about the Meatball Machine. A call for voicemails a little bit earlier in the show. As we have been describing what this period of time entails for the Bears staff, for Ben Johnson, how he needs to go about enhancing this Bears roster. Wanted to hear from you about it as well. If you got to be an advisor to Ben Johnson, I mean, he does have a 28-year-old offensive coordinator. Who knows? Maybe some of you out there, maybe even if you're not that long in the tooth, but you got some suggestions for the Bears brass, for the Bears' new HC, what they should be targeting out here. Go ahead and download the Odyssey app if you haven't already done that. Hit up the 670 The Score page. Click that voicemail button. Hold it down. Let me know what you think. As a matter of fact, we've got one ready for you right now. Randy from down in Tampa has a suggestion for Ben Johnson, what he should be targeting.
This is Randy from Tampa, Florida, lifelong Chicago Bears fan. I think what they should do, Ben Johnson would probably want to fix the offensive line first, so draft the best offensive lineman possible, specifically left tackle. Then with the second round picks, probably go D-tackle, 3-technique, best pass rusher, defensive end. That's what they should do with the first 3 picks, O-line, D-line.
First 3 picks? Okay. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The Bears could potentially consider themselves stronger at tackle than on the interior at guard, which going into last season, we didn't really think that was going to be the case. But we know they're in good shape with Darnell Wright at right tackle. You could argue there will be, or at least should be, 4 new starters aside from that on the O-line. Will there be an offensive lineman at the number 10 pick who feels worthy of that? You know, if that's going to be proper value there, and what is that balance for the Bears? Value versus need? How does Ben Johnson go about that? I feel like Ryan Poles has tried not to reach too much in the draft. He certainly misevaluated some players, you know, like Velus Jones. But what is that need versus value sort of equation for Ben Johnson and the Bears, and what his role will be from a personnel perspective? They got the number 10 pick. They got a couple of second-round picks, one at 39 and 41. So they've got three picks in the first 41 in the draft. So theoretically, you can acquire some legit talent when you're going down that road with the potential to get guys who should be contributors, perhaps even starters for you at that space in the NFL draft. So, you know, the decision-making process there for what the Bears evaluate, what Ben Johnson feels like the Bears need to improve the roster. If you come out of the combine, you come out of this pre-draft phase and say, I don't know if offensive tackle, if there's a guy, like I think it might be a stretch to think there's going to be a center. I don't know of any centers right now that you say is going to be a top 10 pick. That's just a position that would definitely feel like a reach there for a center, for a running back. You start talking offensive tackle, all right, if there's a guy that seems worthy of that top 10 pick, now we're cooking. You're talking about a pass rusher or an interior defensive lineman. They could definitely use a couple of those. Got to get deeper up front on the D-line as well. And so you don't want to sell the D-line and the need for additional pass rush and disruption on the defensive front. You don't want to sell that short because of the concerns for how Caleb Williams will need additional help on his offensive line. So I agree with the caller, both lines of scrimmage, but I certainly wouldn't put it past what the draft ends up indicating if you go D-line in that top 10, as opposed to just sort of, you know, putting in an ink that an offensive lineman should be the guy they would take in that top 10 of the draft. We'll come back around to that topic more later in the show as well. We will keep the Bears conversation rolling in hour number two with an individual who is always there when there's news happening at Hallis Hall. Then he's there asking the questions and letting you know what's happening also. So we'll get Patrick Finley on the line to get the latest and greatest. And certainly one thing that I'm really curious about from his perspective, because he's been covering this beat for a while now through multiple regimes, this feeling of something anew, this sort of enhanced, revitalized version of the way the Bears do business, I'm really curious just how that manifests itself from him having a firsthand look at it playing out with this Ben Johnson hire and the way everything was handled there. A lot to get into with Patrick Finley, so we'll do that next on The Score.